In the 1940s, Wisconsin was home to a tight-knit community of artists who embraced magic realism, an artistic style that paired detailed, realistic paintings with surreal elements. At the center of this group of artists and friends was a Chicago painter named Gertrude Abercrombie. She hosted legendary literary salons at her home in Hyde Park with other artists and jazz greats. Now, a major traveling exhibit about Abercrombie's work is making its only Midwest stop at the Milwaukee Museum of Art. The exhibit, Gertrude Abercrombie, The Whole World is a Mystery, is on display in Milwaukee through July 19th. And Wisconsin artists are featured in a companion exhibit called Gertrude and Friends, the Wisconsin Magic Realists. Thomas Basiglio Ritter is an art historian and associate curator of American art at the Milwaukee Art Museum. He spoke with host Rob Ferret.
Before we get to the exhibit, I want to look at this concept of magical realism. It can mean different things if it's a novel or visual art or whatever. When it comes to the visual art that we're talking about and Wisconsin's artists of the 1940s, what do we mean by magic realism?
We mean a group of artists that was mostly based in Milwaukee and Madison that at the turn of the 1940s really tried to chart a new way for American painting by rejecting the idealistic style of regionalists like Grant Wood, for example, and really embracing the fantastical, the magical, the sort of dreamlike aspects of life. So they were still interested in their immediate surroundings in the Midwest, but they abstracted those objects and surroundings and coupled them in painting with sort of dreamlike, fantastic elements.
And then there's like surrealist painting coming from Europe from the decades before that. Is that an influence here? Is it something that was kind of slowly trickling into Midwestern art?
Surrealism was absolutely an influence, although I don't think magic realists were really fond of all those isms and titles affixed to them. I think surrealism had its own theoretical sort of backbone that was developed in Europe, and that was definitely different from that. This was sort of a grassroots movement. They didn't have a lot of manifestos or theories like that. They just came together and painted what they felt like painting.
Now, this wasn't like a full-fledged artistic movement, I guess, but it was this, if I'm reading it correctly, a community of like-minded artists who spent time together and with the Chicago-based painter Gertrude Abercrombie, who we'll get to in just a moment. Can you tell us a little bit about the artists in this sort of circle of friends making this new kind of art in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. It was definitely a community of support and like-minded people. The two sort of founding figures were John Wilde and Carl Preeby, both based in Milwaukee. And especially Preeby really impulsed that movement towards magic realists. They were joined by a number of sort of outsider artists like Marshall Glazer, who was still living with his parents in Madison and would host a lot of the groups at his parents' house in Madison. Dudley Hupler was another artist, Sylvia Fine, and then you're right, Gertrude Abercrombie, who was introduced to the group through her friendship with Carl Preeby and was pursuing the sort of same artistic motifs as the group.
What was the response like to their visions of Wisconsin and Midwestern life being so different than what we might have seen in Midwestern art before that?
They certainly got a lot of coverage and participated in a lot of exhibitions starting in the late 1930s. I think the zeitgeist of the time with the Great Depression and the Second World War made it really easy for their works to be received by the public. They were weird and cultivating that weirdness. And I think it resonated with troubled times as well. And it was something fresh and new that people were craving at the time.
As you look back at these artists, do you get a sense of their personalities? It seems like, from my limited exposure here, a kind of a zany bunch of people getting together to, make art, but also to hang out and have dinner parties and that kind of thing.
Totally. Quirky is the word I would use. And they cultivated that aspect. They love to get together. They love to party hard. They love jazz music and bebop music starting in the late 1940s. And they were trying to present themselves, whether through their public speeches or through their self-portraits, in a way that was very different from your sort of traditionally trained artists, the art school artists.
All right, let's walk into the museum now. And you've got a couple things going on related to this conversation. First, Gertrude Abercrombie, we mentioned, a Chicago artist who is close to this Wisconsin scene. And this is a national touring exhibit of The Whole World is a Mystery. Tell us a little bit about Gertrude Abercrombie, her influence and her connection with these Wisconsin artists we've been talking about.
She was a self-taught artist, active in Chicago for most of her life. Started not in art schools, but in commercial art. She worked for department stores like Sears Roebuck at first, and was really influenced by some encounters she made along her path, including sculptors and art critics that encouraged her to pursue a professional artistic career. She herself was born to opera singer parents. She toured the country and then lived in Germany with them as a toddler. So she was destined to have a life in the arts. And starting in the mid-1930s, she really started to chart her own course.
And now paint us a picture of the exhibit. What do we see when we visit?
So you'll start the exhibit by being face-to-face with Gertrude Abercrombie in large format and very small format, two self-portraits from the early 1940s. And the reason why we put these portraits face-to-face in the very first room you enter is to give you an idea of how playful the show will be and how important experimentation with scale and color and support was to Gertrude Abercrombie. She was anything but a conventional painter. And then the very first room that you experience is also devoted to what was her first inspiration, which was her childhood in Aledo, Illinois, a very small town on the border between Illinois and Iowa that was going to become her first source of inspiration in the 1930s.
There's this friendship she has with these Wisconsin artists. One painting that struck me, a group portrait, John Wild, one of the Wisconsin artists we mentioned, did a portrait of them all standing together, identified. We can identify them all by name. And then one unnamed person who is nude, weirdly. What's the story behind that painting?
That painting has a very funny and also affectionate background for us because it actually belonged to Gertrude Abercrombie. She bought it from John Wilde in the 1960s after he painted it. It was a way for them to reminisce on their time together 20 years or so earlier as a group. And in the main exhibition, the Gertrude Abercrombie retrospective, we actually have a really beautiful painting from 1940 called Letter from Carl. And that's her, in a way, response, or rather, I should say, the other way around, Wilde was the response to that, in which she is paying tribute to those Wisconsin artists that were her friends and supporters. So there's a very funny dialogue going there. And famously, that very small portrait that John Wilde painted, Gertrude wrote him a letter saying that she didn't even want to hang it, she would keep it on her lap and reminisce about their time together.
How did we land this touring exhibit in Milwaukee? As you mentioned, it's not showing in a lot of places, and I think this is the only Midwestern stop.
It is the only Midwestern stop, and it was a bet from the museum at first because many of her works are smaller scale, and our main exhibition space where that show was presented is 10,000 square feet. So it was definitely going to be a challenge, but I think that our director at the time, Marcel Poletnik, saw the potential for this show to be very relatable and tell a different story of Midwestern art and be fun and entertaining and at the same time deal with a lot of themes from, you know, identity to place. And so they decided to take a bet and take this show. And fortunately for us, no other venue in Chicago especially did want to take on this exhibition.
We're talking with Thomas Basiglio-Ritter, Associate Curator of American Art at the Milwaukee Art Museum. The museum is hosting a traveling exhibit about Chicago artist Gertrude Abercrombie and a companion exhibit called Gertrude and Friends, the Wisconsin Magic Realists. So yeah, part two of this opportunity, Thomas, was to have these Wisconsin artists on display. Tell us about this companion exhibit.
This is a show that we opened in December that is 3 months before the main retrospective opened. So at first, I really conceived that show as a sort of teaser to entice people to come back and start hearing about Gertrude Abercrombie. And now that the main retrospective is open in our main exhibition space on the ground floor, this small show has evolved into a sort of bonus show. So in a way, if you want to explore more about this Chicago artist and her link to Wisconsin and Milwaukee, especially, you can make your way into the permanent galleries and see that show.
Let's look at a couple of the pieces on display in that exhibit. There's one by Marshall Glazier. It's called John Stuart Curry and the University of Wisconsin Bull Breeding Machine. John Stuart Curry, an artist himself, did a more traditional, I think, style of displaying rural Wisconsin in the Midwest. What was going on in this painting?
This painting is one of my favorite and one of the funniest definitely in the show. It's really sort of indicative of the opinion that Glazier had of John Stuart Curry. Now, Curry was at the time the artist in residence at the College of Agriculture of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And he had already had some success with his friend Grant Wood and with Thomas Hart Benton in establishing the sort of Midwestern style, if you want, this regionalist style. So he was tremendously influenced even when he reached the state, and then he kept training students at UW-Madison. And Glazier was just not convinced. He was saying things like, Curry is one of the most boring people I ever met. And he also criticized Curry for painting this sort of idyllic vision of the Midwest as this paradise of agriculture. So to him, it was as if Curry had a blind spot and couldn't really see the Midwest, even if he observed it. So he might as well be painting dead meat.
I feel like I've talked about Curry's work before, and I feel like there are people in 2026 who might punch me in the mouth for saying that kind of stuff about his work. How was that kind of criticism of another and, well-regarded artist received at the time?
Well, I mean, Glazier didn't have, of course, the influence that Curry had. But when Curry died in 1946, the interesting thing is that the artist who took over his position at UW-Madison was a man named Aaron Borod, whose work is also represented in the show. And Borod had a very different approach, more, you know, closer to Carl Priebe and Marshall Glazier, not so much classic regionalist. So, you know, just through time and in the late 1940s, it actually changed and Curry's style kind of faded away.
Another painting here, Night Tryst by Carl Priebe, another take on magic realism. Tell us a little bit about that painting.
Night Tryst is one of the many birds themed paintings that Priebe painted during his life. He had a fondness for birds, famously painted them at very different scales. This one in particular is a sort of icon for the way it shows the birds placed in this fantastical night setting with various objects just laying there. And this sort of clash of visuals was something Priebe loved to do to sort of unsettle, interrogate, and force you as a visitor to see that bird in a different way. He continued doing that for many, many years. He was famously sketching animals and especially birds at the Milwaukee Zoo and taking his students there for decades. He was a professor at the Layton School of Art at the time. So this painting is, you know, has been in our collection for a while and is really sort of an icon of his type of art.
Turning back to the Gertrude Abercrombie traveling exhibit for a moment, you've described this as a non-traditional hanging in terms of the way that the exhibit is displayed. What do you mean? What does that look like?
Well, our exhibition designer, David Rusick, and I spoke at length about what we wanted the experience of going through the space to be. And we settled very early on the idea that we didn't want it to be a straight sort of gallery experience, like a very long hallway that you would just be able to traverse in one breath and see works on every side. We wanted the experience to be a sort of labyrinth, a sort of maze through the complex mind of Gertrude Abercrombie. She was a very rich persona. She was very creative, very imaginative, and so she was anything from straightforward. So throughout the design and the hanging of the show, we are inviting people really to turn corners and face sort of dead ends sometimes and have to find their way through the various sections. Of course, we're guiding people. No one's going to actually get lost in the space. But the experience I like to liken it to is Alice in Wonderland, really turning a corner and suddenly being surprised by a work or a group of works that you couldn't see before.
Thomas, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
Thank you.
Thomas Basiglio-Ritter is Associate Curator of American Art at the Milwaukee Art Museum. He spoke with host Rob Ferret about Wisconsin's Magic Realists, a group of artists and friends who championed a more surrealist style of painting in the mid-20th century. The exhibit Gertrude Abercrombie, The Whole World is a Mystery is on display at the museum through July 19th, along with a companion exhibit called Gertrude and Friends, The Wisconsin Magic Realists.